The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe for this Wednesday, the 29th of March in London. Coming up today, banking on an overhaul. Financial officials outline plans for a raft of regulatory changes. Testing times, markets are probing banks for weakness, according to the Bank of England's Bailey. And raided, French banks could face more than $1 billion in fines in a tax fraud probe.
A UK green tax, putting the brakes on a combustion engine ban. Those are the stories we're looking at in today's papers, and I'm Leanne Gerrans.
Plus, the 5 million euro Deutsche Bank trade that may have triggered Friday's global rout.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe. The business news you need to start your day in just one 15-minute podcast. On Apple, Spotify, the Bloomberg Business app, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, I'm Caroline Hepke. Here are the stories we're following today. Top US financial officials have outlined major plans to overhaul regulations in the banking sector. Answering questions from US lawmakers, the Fed Vice Chair for Supervision, Michael Barr, suggested that capital and liquidity standards would need to be strengthened. The Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren quizzed officials. Have a listen to this telling exchange.
Vice Chair Barr, let me start with you. Do you believe we should strengthen our financial rules going forward?
Yes, I do, Senator.
Chairman Gruenberg, what about you? Do you agree with President Biden that we need to strengthen our banking rules?
I do agree, Senator.
Under Secretary Liang, do you agree with the president on this?
Senator, I agree that we do need to prevent these types of bank failures.
Well, I'm asking you, of course we need to prevent them, but that's not by simply wishing it. It's by stronger regulation, is that right?
I agree, Senator.
Okay, good.
So, Sir, Senator Warren there, speaking to the Fed Vice Chair for Supervision, Michael Barr, the FDIC Chair, Martin Gruenberg, and the Treasury Undersecretary for Domestic Finance, Nellie Lang. But any proposals will meet stiff opposition from Republicans who say that regulators fail to oversee the dangers of higher inflation and rising interest rates. Meanwhile, the UK's Chief Secretary to the Treasury has once again sought to reassure markets over the stability of this country's banking sector. Speaking to Bloomberg, John Glenn says that it's not wrong to assume that the challenges facing the US banking sector also apply to Britain.
The structure is very different. We've got a small number of very large banks, and their capital requirements are very rigorously enforced by our regulators, who obviously had a step change after the financial crisis 15 years ago. So I don't want to be complacent, but I do think that means that we're in good shape. But obviously, we've got to keep aware of all the challenges in different banks and the different profile of concentration of customers, the different liquidity challenges and issues that they all face in different ways.
So John Glenn there, speaking to Bloomberg's Anne-Marie Hordern in Washington, as US bets against European banks have hit a seven-year high. Reflecting on those trades, the Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey yesterday told MPs that markets are testing the sector for any signs of trouble.
My very strong view of the UK banking system is that it is in a strong position, both capital and liquidity-wise. I think there are moves in markets to, if you like, test out firms. I would not want to say that those, in my estimation, are based on identified weaknesses more than testing out. I mean, there is quite a bit of testing out going on at the moment, I think.
So testing. Well, that was Andrew Bailey speaking to the UK's Treasury Committee. He echoed John Glenn's view of the UK banking system, saying that it remains in a very strong position. He also described the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank as the fastest passage from health to death since Barings, the collapse, of course, in the 1990s of that institution. Meanwhile, when it comes to other issues, so regulators believe that a single 5 million euro bet on Deutsche Bank credit default swaps is what triggered Friday's global market rout. The trade launched a sell-off that wiped out 1.6 billion euros off Deutsche Bank's market cap and more than 30 billion euros off European banking stocks. It is unclear, though, who placed the relevant bet. But there is no evidence so far of anything nefarious about that trade. But interesting to understand what happened on Friday. Meanwhile, just this morning, we learned that UBS has named Sergio Ermotti as its new CEO. That news comes a week after the bank stepped in to buy the troubled lender Credit Suisse for $3.3 billion. Now, Ralph Hamers will remain at UBS and works alongside Sergio Ermotti when the new CEO starts work next week. Ermotti, of course, was the group chief executive officer at UBS for 9 years, repositioning UBS after the severe challenges arising from the global financial crisis. He was in charge 2011 to 2020. So the return of that CEO. Now, the Bank of England has been distracted from taming inflation by working on climate-related goals. This, according to two of the central bank's former senior staff. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts reports now.
Is the Bank of England suffering from mission creep? Former Deputy Governor Paul Tucker thinks so. He's warning the UK Central Bank is involved with too many things beyond its core remit of taming inflation. He also says it was too slow to assess the financial threats related to the trouble at Credit Suisse and Silicon Valley Bank. Speaking in the House of Lords yesterday, Tucker said the issue is also a problem for the US Federal Reserve and for the European Central Bank. At the same hearing, former BOE chief economist John Vickers said there is a reputational risk from the climate goals. He wants a streamlining of the bank's commitments. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
And now to another banking issue. So French banks, including BNP Paribas and Société Générale, are facing fines totaling more than potentially €1 billion after an investigation into tax fraud and money laundering. It follows raids relating to a dividend strategy where shareholders transferred stock for a short period of time to investors based abroad in order to avoid a dividend tax. Bloomberg has approached the five banks named for comment. No response on that yet, but that's part of really an ongoing issue around dividend taxation and tax pros, but it has now encompassed these French banks also. So a pretty interesting story today.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Okay, those are our top stories for you. So lots on the banking crisis. We will be speaking to Bloomberg's finance reporter Nabila Ahmed on that next, on what the regulators said both in the US and the UK. But I also want to say, hands up anyone out there who might have lost a yacht. The Alfa Nero has been abandoned in a dock in Antigua and Barbuda for the last year. And this was the kind of interesting story that I picked out this morning, because the lawyers for Russian billionaire Andrei Guriev say that their client doesn't own the vessel. It's been stuck there, racking up bills of about $500 million. And now apparently it's going to be auctioned off by Antigua and Barbuda unless somebody claims it by the 31st of March. Have a look on the terminal. The Alfa Nero, pretty splendid. It's got an infinity pool and bedrooms for, what, a dozen people? Of course, it's been caught up in the sanctions issue with Russian billionaires, potentially, although we don't actually know who the owner is right now. that story on the Bloomberg Terminal this morning. So let's turn our attention then to capital rules. Boil down the hearings about the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank in the United States and the UK on Tuesday, with more US hearings to come. And actually, so far, the upshot is whether there will be more stringent rules around bank liquidity and capital requirements. That didn't mean, though, that the regulators avoided criticism and questions about whether they were really paying enough attention. Joining me now to discuss is our finance reporter, Nabila Ahmed. Good morning. Thank you so much for your time this morning, Nabila. What were the key points then for you from these hearings?
Caroline, what was really interesting here was that there was so much finger pointing and recriminations and blaming. So the policymakers blamed the regulators, regulators blamed SVB. So there was a lot of finger pointing, but two themes really emerged, which was that a textbook case of mismanagement was what was described as happening at SVB. And that's what led to the failure. And on the other hand, regulators obviously dropped the ball a little bit as well. So there's a lot to say here about, you know, post-financial crisis, a lot of very stringent regulations came in for banks. Under the Trump era, some of those were eroded. So the question here is about who is to blame that regulators have sort of let slip their supervision of particularly these smaller banks.
Yeah, absolutely. Blame to go around for everyone then. But will banks have to deal with tougher US regulations as a result of this? What are the options on the table? And truthfully, will it get support, particularly in the United States?
There's a lot of debate about that, and you're sort of hit the nail on the head there, because Congress is still very divided about this. And the Republicans are saying, we don't need extra supervision. This is not about that. This is about something else. And it wasn't our fault that some of these stringent rules were eroded. Democrats are saying, no, we absolutely do need extra supervision. What we do know is that the FDIC will embark on a comprehensive review of bank deposit insurance. And its chair said that you know, the decision to cover all uninsured depositors was a highly consequential one, and that has implications for the system. So that is something that they will be looking at. Banks are facing the toughest, sort of biggest overhaul of regulation in years. And, you know, everyone is saying that there is a need to strengthen capital and liquidity standards. There needs to be greater supervision of banks with assets larger than $100 billion. Remember, SVB had assets of about $211 billion odd. So that is something, you know, that is being talked about. Yes. We're talking about the Fed's stress tests will be enhanced, and we need to have more scenarios that cover it. It's amazing that the stress tests that banks already go through didn't have anything in there about interest rate risk. So the fact that interest rates have been rising for 2 years, this is really what brought SVB down, because they bought up those bonds when rates were low. And then as rates rose, the value of those were eroded. And people went to take their money out of the bank, they weren't able to cover the deposits, basically.
Yeah, and I'm sure you caught this shade. Billionaire Andre Esteves, who is the chairman and the co-founder of Banco BTG Pactual, which, you know, in Brazil, is talking about how any junior analyst from Latin America would have been able to manage that kind of risk around interest rates. So, look, everybody's got a view on this. In the UK, though, Andrew Bailey describing SVB's collapse, you know, as the biggest thing since Barings, which is kind of huge, obviously, given the speed of the collapse of Barings in 1995, but underlying that there are tougher rules in the UK, you know, does that work? That sort of, you know, it's not our problem kind of message?
Well, I think everyone is rushing to say that. And, you know, probably the Swiss would have said that up until the events of last week. So, yeah, I mean, look, the global economy and global banking is so interconnected now. You can say that. And maybe it's just a warning sign to everybody to sort of clean up their houses a little bit. But regulation does vary country to country. And the US is a unique market because it is also obviously very, very big. And it's many, many banks of different sizes. The UK market is not as diverse. But he did say that the banking sector in recent weeks has shown that it it is robust in the UK. But even then, the UK may still have to consider forcing banks to hold more liquid assets, for example, so they can meet rapid demands for withdrawals. Because one of the things that came out of this was how quickly people moved to pull their money and how quickly they were able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. SVB, it was staggering that, you know, had they not had the regulator not stepped in on the day that they were going to, that the losses, the withdrawals scheduled for that day were huge. Nabila, I'm sure you know the figure off the top of your head.
$100 billion. And actually, wow, they were able to withdraw around about 40 odd.
Wow,
so,
okay,
you know, it was huge. On that last day, yeah.
Yeah, on the final day of what happened. Nabila, thank you so much for being with me this morning. Nabila Ahmed, our finance reporter there, just sort of digesting those hearings that we had in the US, and indeed they continue today. So my thanks to her for being with me. Up next, a UK green tax, putting the brakes on a combustion engine ban, and the jobs most at risk from ChatGPT.
Now, the paper review on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe. The news you need to know from today's papers.
And joining me now, Bloomberg's Leanne Gerrans is in the studio. So the Times headline, Leanne, let's start there. The UK to impose green tax on imports from polluting factories.
Yes, indeed, Caroline. So Grant Shapps, the Energy Secretary, will announce the new measures as part of a package of proposals that is actually going to be unveiled tomorrow. And I didn't know if you know this, but tomorrow's been dubbed Energy Security Day. So that's something Grant Shapps is going to be delivering. But under new government plans to hit, you know, net zero by 2050, cheap imported products made in polluting factories abroad, so not here in the country, could face these new green import taxes. And he's also going to say that middle income families will be given grants to make their homes more energy efficient.
Oh.
As up until now, we know that it's been for lower income families. So he's bringing up that to middle income. And basically, this scheme, Caroline, they're saying, is going to mirror a similar plan which is in place in the European Union. And
is it going to be backed with enough money, though? And also, you only have to look at the Climate Change Committee's review that's out this morning, that comes out twice a year. I was totally damning about government's policies, saying the country in the UK is already suffering the effects of government failures because they're not preparing for extreme weather. So,
Yes, and also, Caroline, this will have to be done internationally, because if they're going to, you know, tax countries that have more lax environmental rules,
right,
it probably just can't be a blanket ban. So
no,
there's probably going to be a lot of obstacles in the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, is it just inflationary? Oh, God, double-digit inflation in the UK. That's really difficult.
Yes.
Okay, The Telegraph says the net zero ban on petrol cars is in chaos after a Brussels climb down.
Yeah, exactly. So is this news another blow for Grant Shapps ahead of tomorrow, ahead of Energy Security Day? Now, a looming British ban on the sale of new petrol and diesel cars could really be under threat. Now, this comes after Brussels watered down its own restrictions amid opposition from the German auto industry. Mm. So experts and politicians are warning that the British rules, which were due to take effect in 2030, are now completely untenable after this European climb down, which some papers have dubbed a backroom compromise to keep some of the car companies and automakers happy.
The pain of the transition.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And we have to make sure that right now, when we look at the transition, it's for high-end vehicles who can invest in these new e-fuels like Porsche. So a lot going on in that way too.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, your morning brief on the stories making news from London to Wall Street and beyond. Look for us on your podcast feed every morning on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. You can also listen live each morning on London DAB Radio, the Bloomberg Business app, and Bloomberg.com. Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa device. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130. I'm Caroline Hepke. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
The countdown has begun. From May 14th to 16th, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum, powered by Bloomberg. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections, gain unique insights, and uncover valuable opportunities in one of the world's most rapidly rising regions. Request your invite for this exclusive event at QatarEconomicForum.com.